chance of fall. Chance of showers in the afternoon.
Chance of showers in the afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Second hour of the French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. I'm coming to you live and direct from my farm in central France, and it's 11:06 in the evening in France, and it's great to have you all with me here. We've been discussing issues that are very relevant to all of us, but more importantly to many people from the Jewish community. Leland has really drawn up a good way of describing how this community can protect itself and how the rest of us can start viewing the efforts we should be making going forward. And I mean, these are issues that may in fact save lives over time and may in fact better inform the rest of us out here who our enemies are and who our allies are. And so I'm going to go right back to Leland. Leland, you know, you were talking about how this satanic part of it works, regardless of my thoughts on that subject, because I frankly think it's nonsense. I mean, it sounds beyond. It doesn't matter what I think, does it? I mean, these people actually buy into this stuff hook, line, and sinker, don't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's for sure. I mean, if you aren't religious by nature, you have to look at it as a philosophical perspective, where instead of the devil giving you control over the world, your willingness to perpetrate criminal activity gives you an advantage over people who are unwilling to be criminal.
That's right.
Somebody who's willing to kill you in order to get your food may, in fact, end up getting your food if you don't have a good defense set up. So, I mean, it can be simplified to that extreme as well.
Yeah.
But the important point here is that we need to, everybody who is sensible needs to keep their eyes peeled and watch out for these strategies as they develop. And one of the most important websites on the internet today is threeworldwars.com.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman there by the name of Michael Haupt or Hoffman, I can't remember exactly what his name is, has explained the strategy of three world wars. Which was revealed in this letter between Albert Pike and Giacomo Mazzini, both of whom were high-level Masons involved in the revolutionary Illuminati-sponsored struggles of the mid-19th century and previously in the French Revolution and to a certain extent in the American Revolution as well. But what this document indicates is a strategy of creation, and we know for a fact that this document was around in 1924, long before the Second World War, and this document describes a strategy of tension wherein several world wars are going to be used in order to create the final crowning achievement, which is the imposition of a one-world dictatorship, and that is something that listeners to Genesis Communications Network will be very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And this was exactly what they said after World War I and why they came up with the idea of the League of Nations, and the same thing after World War II. These wars are too destructive. We have to create an international super government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the same people who are pulling the strings and financing these wars end up being the ones who are also setting up this international super government.
Well, how does that discussion square with the emergence of the Messiah for the Jewish community, who was supposed to take his seat at the Temple Mount, and that many of the prophecies that have actually come to pass by design, not by anything supernatural, but rather by the design of these people picking the dates and picking the activities selectively to make it seem like prophecy. But they're supposed to set up a very powerful governmental structure in the Middle East and dismantle the Al-Aqsa and rebuild the temple there and enter it as this Messiah to the Jews. And how does that square with this Pike procedure here?
Well, the Third World War, the final one, depending on the sequence that you adopt, is designed to pit political Zionism, which is really political Zionism, is a sub faction of Jewish supremacists. Not all Jewish supremacists are political Zionists. Not all Jewish supremacists give a damn about what happens in Israel. Quite frankly, their eye is on the bigger pie, control of the entire planet. And if they have to sacrifice millions of Jews in Israel in order to get it, they'll do it, which is exactly what they did during World War II, and quite consciously. And if you look at some of the documents on Neturei Karta's website, a group of Orthodox rabbis, you'll find that they very explicitly stated to people in the Jewish community who are desperately trying to save Jews during Second World War Europe that, look, we can't save these Jews. Not only will it be counterproductive to our political ends, but if we don't actually allow them to be sacrificed, we won't have the political capital necessary in order to establish the State of Israel, which is instrumental to our ultimate domination of the region and finally of the world. And, you know, these rabbis just couldn't believe what they were hearing out of the mouths of these, you know, so-called members of their community, and it was shocking to them, and it's shocking to us now. And anybody who's more interested in that can go to their website. It's nkusa.org.
Well, I have to tell you that I've had Rabbi Weiss on twice on this program. Rabbi David Weiss?
Yeah, that's right. Actually,
he's been on twice.
I'm sorry. I forgot about that. And absolutely. So, you know, from the horse's mouth, you'll get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he, of course, is one of the most courageous of the Orthodox rabbis, and many of whom are some of the sort of soul guardians of the secret history of the Jewish supremacist movement within Judaism.
They've been staunch critics of these people for some time, and never been able to get any traction because of, well, you know, we look at the control points on our media and the rest of it. The fact is they looked at as nuts, and I'm starting to wonder if we'll ever get traction for the truth that they've been sharing with us. I can't seem to get an audience for this place. I mean, we get 10,000, 15,000 people in the final analysis. That's not going to do it, Leland.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the reality is that we need the opinion makers in the community. We need to, you know, target the people who actually have respect in the community, and a lot of those people are actually moving in this direction already. It's going to take a while, because it always takes nearly as long to unlearn a given doctrine as it does to learn it, and usually these doctrines start getting implanted in people's minds starting at the very early ages, 4, 5, 6, and then on through the entire high school indoctrination process. So it takes a while, and it certainly took me a while. I'm 36 now, and it's taken this long even for a person who dedicated himself to, you know, learning the real truth about what was going on back when I was 19. So it takes a long time, so I wouldn't hurry it along too fast. But there does seem to be a sort of critical mass developing of people who recognize the dangers of not only the secret society control, but also of the political Zionist and the Jewish supremacists who are working both sides of every war. And, you know, at a certain point, it's a sort of a survival of the species issue, because, you know, there just isn't really a whole lot of concern for the welfare of the planet embodied within these strategies. Now, with regards to the Temple Mount, that's an interesting topic, and one and another of your guests has taken up on several occasions, Ted Pike, and it goes to the sort of root of the idea of what prophecy really is, because prophecy is not always the same thing. Prophecy is either inspired vision, or it's just advertising for a priestly idea that they want to use in order to capitalize their power.
And so the second one is in effect in this instance.
I would say so.
Well, it seems like they've been working really hard to make it look like it's coming from some divine place. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we got more with Leland Lehrman, and we're going to be taking your calls. 1-800-259-5791. And ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host today on The French Connection. My guest today is Leland Lehrman, and we've been talking about these issues that are very relevant today. We've got a lot of these prophecies that have not been fulfilled but are in the pending stages. One of them, I believe, is this next phase of the war that is being planned right now as we speak in Iran, and you can see with the vitriol and the rhetoric that's being haven't turned up here, that we're really on the verge of this next move. And I'm wondering, Leland, if Jesus, is this going to usher in their next Temple Mount dealy and the rest of it? I mean, I'm wondering what's going to be next with this whole mess.
Well, it's a good question, and you know, a lot of us have been very suspicious about this pullout from Gaza. We're concerned that really that the plan is ultimately to, you know, make that an even more miserable place than it already is by setting it up as a sort of a target area in the event of a wider Mideast war, which I suppose they think they can win, at which point I think they'll probably finally do this idea of replacing Al-Aqsa Mosque with a Temple Mount. And Ted Pike has a very interesting take on this, which is that the Book of Revelation states that, and I'm not saying that this is correct, but it's sort of interesting to think about, that at the moment that the sort of Jewish supremacist or apostate Israel, I believe is what he generally calls sort of Jewish people who have turned from God and have begun worshiping Lucifer and all of its manifestations, that at the moment, very moment when they feel like they've finally taken over the Temple Mount, that at that point they will be completely destroyed. So, you know, even the people who are sort of apparently pro-Zionist within the Christian Zionist,
and that's a lot of people, Leland.
That's a lot of people. In fact, that's quite frankly, that's, you know,
that's the biggest nut to crack right now, my friend.
It is. It's one of the most important audiences right now. We have to explain to them that you know, this prophecy isn't necessarily what they think it is. One, and two, it's very dangerous to determine that political events should be shaped by prophecy, largely because prophecy is so easily corrupted. And one of the ways that we know that prophecy or so-called divine law is often corrupted is because very specific passages within the Old Testament are clearly simply manifestations of the priest's idea of what they deserve. For example, the priest apparently has some law in the Old Testament that priests get specific cuts of the animal after the animal is sacrificed. And I think that most intelligent people will look at that law and say, well, that law is actually probably not divinely inspired. It is probably just cooked up by the priest. And now, certainly, some prophecy is much more legitimate than a very self-centered law that has been engendered by the priests for their own advancement. But at the same time, you have to be careful about the corruption of prophecy for illegitimate political and military purposes.
I mean, there are a lot of self-evident observations like that in the Old Testament that can be ascribed to interpretation. I remember, you know, in the Catholic faith as well, where we gave the Pope this power to say that he had God's divine will in his heart, so that you couldn't eat meat on Friday because that's what God would want. Now, you know, so that means everybody in the Catholic religion was eating fish every Friday. Was that to help the fishermen? Who knows? You know. I mean, that it sounds ludicrous, but frankly, so was that rule.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and the Catholic Church unfortunately succumbed to a temple-based, priest-interpolated religious structure as well. And quite frankly, there's very little difference in the temple structures worldwide, which is why I say the scam that involves temple religions and banking control and militaristic control, it's a totally non-denominational scam. They'll take whoever they can get. You know, it's a biological strategy adopted by some for the control of populations.
And is it because human beings are basically fear-based and have to have a sense of faith to quell those gnawing fears of getting up every day and having questionable purpose? So they turn themselves over to a divine deity in order to kind of say, well, everything's all right because I'm in the hands of this. This omnipotent and benevolent being. I have to wonder, when we look at the larger issue of it, the Jews don't come at it the same way, because their God that they pray to is jealous and vindictive. Well, that's what it says.
Well, I know. Yeah, you know, I mean, most of the religions of the world have been clearly manipulated by political strategists who have
Right.
claimed a priestly role.
Yep.
And so most religions have this. Now, certain passages in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, are clearly derived from sort of wandering in the wilderness type prophets. And most of those passages are in direct contrast with the other passages, which are the priestly derived passages. And virtually all of them, including, of course, the New Testament, are extremely critical of the priests.
Jesus Christ's wanderings brought him in direct conflict with the Pharisees.
Of course, but his was not the only such experience. There were other Jewish prophets who had the same contempt for the priests and realized that they were leading them to political suicide, because often the priests, even of that time, would recommend military action against far superior forces, which ended up in the destruction of the temple of back in 64-70 AD and numerous other times. I mean, the fanaticism within the political and military fabric of the Middle East has been going on for a long time. It's just been a very volatile and difficult region for a long time. And but that doesn't mean that we can just give up on the region. We have to promote a secular political structure while allowing people to have freedom of religion. I think that that has been the most successful strategy that has ever really been adopted for creating a political system that has.
But it leads us to be
freedom.
Victimized. Take a look at Scientology, for example, or take a look at some of these other so-called religious groups. They prey on their members. They prey on society. They prey on the Moonies, for example. They had these kids out selling flowers and then making them live on bread and water while they were shipping all their profits to Reverend Moon. And now this guy controls the New York, the Washington Times. The hypocrisy and the sickness in that whole scenario is painful for me to even recount. And I wonder, when are we going to grow up and start understanding that we're often victimized by these organizations and not helped?
That's an enormous question, and I don't know if you can put really a timeline on it, but I do know that sort of personal empowerment and personal religious conviction has a certain amount of it's on the upswing anyway in these times.
I think you're right. When we come back, I'm going to give you an opportunity to close out your segment with me here, Leland, and talk to my guests directly for anything you want to discuss. When we return, more from Leland Lehrman. We're going to finish up our interview in this last long segment here with my guest, Leland Lehrman. And I'm going to give Leland an opportunity here because he spent a lot of time on these issues and in fact, was a broadcaster himself. And I feel that we've lost somebody important in the broadcasting area by you not being on all the time, Leland. And, I always enjoy your visits. And I'm glad you came today because you always move the ball forward for both myself and my listeners, and I'm happy to have you. You maybe can address my listeners with any subject you want to talk about.
All right. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be on your show, and I really enjoy it. And I do believe that you are one of the most important broadcasters that we have out there, offering covering some of the issues in a more thorough and credible way than some of the other people involved.
Thanks.
And in particular, I want people to continue to watch this Larry Franklin court case, because it's sort of one of the off-the-radar eventualities which has the potential to change things and change the way things are done here in America. Because what you have is Larry Franklin, who was convicted of basically selling secrets to the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Well, not selling, but just basically spying for Israel, which is actually a common occurrence among some of these so-called neoconservatives,
yeah.
Christian Zionists, and other people that are there in Washington, D.C. They're regularly caught passing secrets to Israel Richard Pearl, Doug Fife, Paul Wolfowitz, all of them.
Ladine
is at the top, and also he's involved in the whole Masonic Lodge business and the terrorism in Italy back in, I believe, the 70s and the assassination of Aldo.
Gladio and everything, yep.
Yeah, so, and not only that, but Ladine was put on the burn list by the CIA a long time ago after all of that and the Tower Commission. But what you have this sort of constant battle between sort of half-decent prosecutors like, Paul McMurtry, I think is his name. I can't remember actually what the name of the prosecutor on the Larry Franklin cases.
Fitzgerald's not involved in that at all, is he?
I don't think so. I think it's somebody else. It's Paul McMurtry, and then it's Dave Zady, who's the head of FBI counterintelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody interested in communicating with him and his office to find out what's going on the Larry Franklin case, I highly recommend it. I didn't get a response from them, but I certainly did send along my analysis of the situation, which really is that this is the tip of the iceberg. You know, they've uncovered the fact that AIPAC has been spying on American defense installations and defense policy people for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an incredible hall of mirrors and such an incredible smoking gun that it's been kept out of the press on a regular basis. However, the prosecutor has apparently secured Larry Franklin's cooperation in his testimony against the two members of AIPAC, the head of policy and the head of the Iran desk. And as we go into this sort of proposed war with Iran, it's going to be very important to watch how some of the sort of more vocal people against this whole policy of wider engagement in the Middle East and the special prosecutor and the Attorney General's office and the people that are involved in prosecuting both the people at the American Israel Public Affairs Committee and their people inside the defense establishment like Larry Franklin. And it's not just Larry Franklin. There are other people that are named in the soup or sort of they're not named, but it's indicated that there are other people in the American establishment that are under investigation.
Yeah.
And, then, of course, you have the whole Scooter Libby thing. So it's going to be an interesting little sort of showdown between the people who are trying to roll this network up and limit its influence and those people who are trying to enable its influence for the purpose of, enabling this wider war. And unfortunately, if you look at the major media coverage, you can see that basically nobody knows who Larry Franklin is. You have to go to antiwar.com or you have to be reading the blogs that are particularly concerned about this event to understand what the implications of high-level United States espionage for Israel and...
Or you listen to this show because we have Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski on tomorrow, and she sat one desk away from Larry Franklin while she was in the Pentagon. And those are the kinds of things that we can discuss here, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the broader question is, how can we stop this sort of crazy rush to this insane Third World War and its attendant nightmare, the sort of global police state?
Yep.
And, the answers to those questions are still in play. I don't know what the answers are, but I know that it involves talking about the issue. I know that it involves proposing a return to constitutional government. I know that it involves making sure that this idea of the unitary executive falls flat on its face. There are a variety of strategies here. And, of course, what you're doing, every week or every day, I don't know how often your show is.
5 days a week.
5 days a week. Well, that's, that's... Your kind of leadership is exactly what we need, and we'll get there. But at some point when the people are shocked enough, they are going to be looking for alternatives because they're going to realize that the leaders that they've been listening to have been completely deceiving them. So I think that time is coming close, and so we need to be in position such that when people start in fact looking for alternative ideas and structures and understandings of history, they'll be available.
Well, we've got to get the smoke screen out of the smoke out of the people's eyes so they can see where the news is being shared. I mean, we've got such a mess on this internet, you don't even know where to go to find the news. It's a nightmare. And of course, people like myself, I'm on three websites, that's it. That's three people linked to me. And I've been doing this over a year. The fact is, I'm not in high demand because I'm telling the truth. There's more disinfo out there than there is information.
Well, remember, you only need to reach a small percentage of the people. A lot of the key people in this don't have that many people that they can talk to about it because, unfortunately, the number of people that actually make a difference at this level is rather small.
Yes.
So, we got to keep doing it because you never know when, I mean, you've got Dennis, people like Dennis Halliday coming on your show. I mean, they are movers and shakers. It's important that we network with the movers and shakers, because at some point, you know, the rats are going to flee the sinking ship, and we want to make sure that, you know, they find a home with us if they're willing to be, you know, straight-ahead political players. And I feel like Washington, D.C. is, you know, in a position where some of the people are going to be looking for alternative structures to be a part of when the corruption eats away the absolute center core of American governmental institutions.
Well, I think that day's already come, and now it's like I said, it's a kleptocracy wholesale now. And, you know, they're taking everything that's not nailed down. I got to say, though, you know, the American public not being aware of this, they're aware something's afoot, but they're not concerned enough to really do the due diligence. And I'm wondering if they ever will be, or are they just going to be manipulated to electing in another John Dean? What's his name there? Dean or Kerry? Howard Dean or a Kerry or another shill, Lieberman?
Well, you know, we're looking at a very, very, very serious short-term deadline here for virtually everything. In other words, this sort of March deadline showdown with Iran is such a significant turning point in the political establishment that, you know, I'm focusing all of my energy in terms of the global political establishment on trying to figure out how we can completely neutralize any propaganda that ever emerges from some sort of, manufactured terror incident designed to legitimate a war with Iran. And if you look at the website that I work on, physics911.net, you'll see my article, Israel, Iran, and a Nuclear False Flag Attack, which is my...
The Key Dudney site?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Key's an important part of getting some of these evidences together as well.
I agree.
Leland, I want to thank you for being on today on The French Connection.
It's great to be here, Darryl.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend. I'll be talking to you soon.
Good. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, Leland Larman, when we come back, we've got more from The French Connection. Stick with me. And ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We have one more long segment here, and I've got a few things I wanted to talk to you about here. You know, I was on the phone today with a major network news investigator and somebody I had a discussion with about issues pertaining to finding out the truth in different areas. And I was told by this person that they no longer were even permitted to do any serious investigating of crime and issues in the public, that those days had passed. And I said, wow, how do you even go to work? And she said, it's very difficult. And she said also that it wasn't always like this. It's been a last few years of just absolute horrific descent into, it's tyranny within our fifth estate here. And the shows like mine and some others, there aren't many of them, but, you know, most of the stuff that's going on out here in this Internet is not meant to inform you. It's not meant to bring you useful information, although some of the things that are said on some of these other programmings are useful, or some of the things you read are useful. For the most part, they have spent large, large fortunes on trying to manipulate news flow on the median of the Internet and on talk radio even. And we find ourselves every day, battling just to get this message out to a small group of you. I mean, we're talking between 5 and 15,000 a day, depending on what's happening in the world and what day it is. You know, on the weekends, of course, it's much smaller, but we can't win that way, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why, I mean, I look at my donations, 911.org there, whatever this crazy place full of disinfo people, they're going to raise $50,000 for their effort, and they're just full of lying, ne'er-the-well, criminals, I say. They should be put in jail. They should be, because they're ruining any hope we're going to have of defeating these people. And they're going to get the $50,000, probably from Mr. Soros or Mr. Newhouse or Mr. somebody. If my little adventure here, 4 months, I got 467 in 4 months. Now, of course, I only want a dollar from people to pay some of these bills and whatnot. And the pressure's falling on my little family. And, you know, I don't have these resources. I really don't. I mean, this is a fact of my life. I got a broken down farmhouse in the middle of France. Now, everybody thinks that, you know, if you live in France, ooh la la, you must be doing really great. Well, fact is, I'm not starving, but I'm carrying this weight on my own shoulders here. And that's okay. I mean, I would do it if nobody sent me any money. I really would. I would do this anyway. But I only want a buck. You can throw it on a buck in an envelope and a 37-cent stamp. Let's see if we can't raise another $467 so that, you know, after 6 months goes by, I've got three out of the 6 months of phone bills paid. And that would be a big help to me. And I just wanted you to know that because this is a fight I'm trying to shoulder here, and it's tough on my wife and me. I got children and university age and bills to pay, and boy, I'm taking it right out of their mouths, and that's a tough one for me to decide. But I do it anyway. And, you know, they don't get paid for this. I volunteer to do this job. I do all this effort and stuff because I love the idea of a constitutional republic called the United States of America. I have admired the promise that it always offered, even though much of that promise was a lie throughout my life, I've come to discover. And it's that very promise that I'm hoping to re-ensconce into the hearts and minds of our fellow Americans. And this is a very, very, very daunting task that we face here. And whether or not we'll pull this off is very much up in the air, as Leland pointed out. I got to tell you, you know, the organs of control and the compartmentalizing of control in this country, it's so well done. It's so well designed. It's not well done because they're incompetent boobs for the most part. But the design of it is brilliant. And because the design is so incredible, even a limited job that they do works well. And they've kept us away from finding truth and exercising our truth for so long that people are just not even aware that they need to do it in some cases, in most cases. Americans are walking around in a dream state saying something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. Something's wrong with George Bush. Something's wrong with the economy. Something's wrong. And they're not even getting the right answers on where to find the info. That's what's happening. Tell one educated person where to find this evidence, this truth. Tell them to tune into the French Connection. I'm always going to put on people that are going to help you move this forward. Once in a while, I might make a mistake. You know, you have these bad surprises in life. Well, you roll with them and you go with them. I mean, stuff happens. But the fact is, every time I put on a show here, there's something to be learned. There's something to move you motivationally to get this job done, ladies and gentlemen, because we're here to do something. This is not an entertainment program. It's not even talk radio. More than that. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the show out for this Monday edition of the French Connection. And ladies and gentlemen, coming back to those smooth sounds. Always love that. You know, it's the close out of the first show of this week, and tomorrow, of course, we have Karen Kwiatkowski, Lieutenant Colonel and Doctor, on the show. She'll be here for about 45 minutes, and calls will open up after that point. I hope everybody who with a question has the courage to call in and ask it. You know, this fight, ask the kinds of questions that how do we get a better fight going, or maybe suggestions of how we can bring people into this broadcast so that they can hear these transmissions, these most important things that we're discussing here. We need this to go out into more hands. It's getting more and more dire as the weeks pass. And, you know, 10,000, it needs to be 100,000. And I know we won't reach that goal, but boy, do we need to. You know, I don't mind the fact that we haven't been all that successful until recently, when I realized that we don't have a lot of time, and that if these folks are going to put together a criminal war in Iran in March, and then now I'm starting to really see the just how serious our economy is imploding. I got to tell you, this is getting more and more critical that we get this message out now. We've got to wake up as many people across this nation as we can between now and March, if those dates and those times are important. And maybe we can stop them, or maybe we can delay them until our message becomes more mainstream, until it becomes more accepted in the general public, and where they can find this information and how they can start getting the proper news that they deserve to have, so that they know what they're doing. They've got families out there. They've got kids to worry about. They've got mortgages. They've got car payments and homes and food to eat. And, I mean, there's going to be a mess across the land. And, everyone has been talking about it coming, and it is growing near. And, boy, I don't like sounding like a defeatist, because I that's certainly not my character. If it were, I would have stopped doing this some time ago. But I do want to sound like an alarm ringer here, because, boy, everybody's starting to really see this. Even across Europe, people know this is happening to the United States, guys, to a man here. There's virtually not even a farmer where I live that doesn't know it. And the shocking thing is that the American public believe these talking heads on their media. And I'm watching the stuff they've been putting for entertainment. It's about graveyards and sickness and weird and stuff and sadomasochism and wife swapping and, oh my goodness. And they're starting to export this nonsense, this crap over here even. This one show called Epitaph. I wanted to vomit when I saw it. It was just out of control sick. Where is the resistance? Where is the outrage? Where is the moral outrage? Bring somebody to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Help them share this with us. When we come back tomorrow, we got another show that's going to be off the hook, ladies and gentlemen. More French Connection. Daryl Bradford Smith. See you tomorrow.